The Public News Service Daily Newscast, October the 31st, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. Advocates for rent control in Albuquerque say they won't give up their quest for more affordable housing despite the city council rejecting a proposal on that earlier this month.
Supporters and opponents debated a motion urging New Mexico lawmakers to repeal a state law that prohibits local governments from enacting rent control policies. Bex Hampton with the People's Housing Project says a meeting ended with a failed 2-7 vote, but her group will continue pushing for what it calls people, not profit.
We're in it for the long haul. We know that this is going to be a long battle. The current situation is far from dignified housing for all, and we're going to keep fighting until we get there.
Councillor Dan Lewis was one of seven who voted against the measure. He called it well-intentioned but misguided, arguing it could scare off future investment and make the housing situation worse. I'm Roz Brown.
Earlier this year, the City Council did pass a source of income ordinance preventing landlords from rejecting government-issued Section 8 vouchers, which many use to help them pay rent. It's been about a year since Virginia families last received funds from the U.S. Child Tax Credit, and they want it to be reinstated.
According to a study from Columbia University, the Child Tax Credit kept more than 3.7 million children out of poverty in December 2021. The study also found that in January of this year, the child poverty rate could increase from 12.1 to about 17.1%. Virginia kindergarten teacher Melissa Keebaugh has felt the effects firsthand and seen them at her school. She says reinstating the child tax credit would have numerous benefits for kids and families.
I think that we would see a lot more of our children without having food instability. That would give them more access to better housing, to safer housing. I'm sure that there would be a benefit then to the schools because they would be able to put more money into that.
Keebaugh's personal benefit from the child tax credit was being able to afford after-school care for her daughter. Initially, when the child tax credit first came about, she was uncertain about it, but sees its importance for families trying to make ends meet. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
And now from the New York Times, troubling signs for social media. 3 days after Elon Musk purchased Twitter, the billionaire posted a tweet that advanced baseless allegations about the recent attack on the husband of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. On Saturday, the former First Lady Hillary Clinton posted a tweet assailing Republicans for spreading hate and deranged conspiracy theories. The Times notes in a reply, Musk wrote, "There is a tiny possibility there might be more to this story than meets the eye." This is PNS. Five states, including Kentucky, have measures on the ballot this year related to abortion, the most on record for any single year.
The Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade this summer spurred California, Michigan, and Vermont to ask voters to weigh in on a state-level right to abortion. Kentucky voters will consider Amendment 2 to remove abortion rights from the state constitution. In Montana, voters will have to choose yes or no on a law that declares infants born alive at any stage of development are legal persons. Smith College professor of women and gender studies, Carrie Baker, explains state-level measures curtailing abortion access come with a host of ripple effects she believes would hinder health care access across the board.
What's at stake is people's health, their physical health, but also their economic health and their ability to control their bodies and make medical decisions for themselves without the government and politicians inserting themselves into those decisions.
Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
And no surprise, parenting was challenging even before the COVID pandemic, but a unique program in Cambridge teaches new parents the skills they need to nurture their kids and themselves.
It's called Baby University and includes 14 once-weekly parent-child playgroups and workshops that cover everything from a child's brain development to parent relaxation techniques. Shirley Elliott is a recent graduate. She says she initially joined the program to help build a community for herself and her 3-year-old daughter.
It's about understanding that you're not on this journey alone, and if you reach out, others can come to you because you really are going through the same thing.
Baby University is part of the City of Cambridge Department of Human Service programs. Parents also receive in-home visits by Baby U staff and learn to grow support networks as well as new friendships. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
Finally, Mike Bowen lets us know utilities across the nation are making climate pledges, but they're not always backing them up.
The Sierra Club compared the actions a company takes to boost its renewable energy use to its publicly stated goals. Analysis of more than 70 utilities nationwide found most are still investing in fossil fuel generation despite continued pledges to move away from it. The Wisconsin companies that were included, Alliant and a pair of subsidiaries of WEC Energy, received D grades or lower. The Sierra Club's Cassie Steiner says it underscores Wisconsin's struggles in this area.
In general, Wisconsin really is lagging behind even our neighboring Midwest states on this transition to clean energy.
This is Mike Clifford. Happy Halloween, and thanks for starting your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. Heard on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform, and find trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.